Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Madden.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. That's what's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
We love talking with Joe. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. The manager of your Chicago Cubs is now here on The Score. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad. Joe, how are you today?
I'm well, and good morning. And first of all, congratulations. I heard about your graduation.
Oh man! Now they're just like they're giving you all the info.
Well, that's pretty cool stuff now because I never actually graduated. I eventually got my honorary degree from Lafayette. I'm a doctor of letters, and I respect what you did so much. So I just wanted to start off by saying congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. I really enjoyed my time at Alabama, and now I have to figure out. My wife told me that I can't. You probably deal with Jay this way. Like, you do so much that they have to manage us sometimes and say, look, you're not doing anything for a while, and that's exactly what my wife has done.
Oh, please. It's the off season, obviously. I try to give her first dibs, whatever she wants to do. Last year, was our 10th anniversary, went to Europe. We haven't decided yet this year, but of course, in the off season, she's with me most of the way, whatever we're doing, whether, the foundational stuff or taking our trip. So I totally get it.
We were treated to some fantastic food from your place, Joe.
Cool.
Madden's
cool.
Post over on Waveland, right off of Racine, dropped off pizza and pierogies today. Thank you very much. How did you decide on what you wanted this place to be?
Well, just took a while. We got together, and of course, once Tony Mantuano came on board from Spiaggia, James Beard Award winner. I don't know if you know Tony at all, but this is the most normal guy in the world, and he just happens to be very talented. So I meet Tony, comes back to Pennsylvania with the design team. Mike Kozlowski, majority owner of the restaurant, and Michael Stewart, my buddy from Tampa. And I take him around town in my station wagon in Hazleton. We drove around to Bellhops, Snaps. I think we took him to the Ovalon and eventually Bottlenecks and gave them a taste of the town. And what they wanted to do was somehow morph Hazleton into this restaurant and bring it to Chicago. And, of course, being Polack Italian from back in the day and still am, that resonated. Tony's line, which I love, I don't want to do shishito peppers another way. And when he said that, man, we were just totally on the same page. I don't think there's an Italian-Polish fusion restaurant out there anywhere. But beyond that, then we have some normal stuff. The whitefish is unbelievable. I haven't tried the steak, the wings, the city chicken, all this stuff. So you got Tony's influence, and now Aaron Theobald is our head chef. Aaron had been at the Grill and the Goat, and he's so talented. I watch these guys together. The team is already up and running. I could go on and on, but having Tony as the lead bull right there is really what makes it all work.
If you want to check out Joe's place, it's called Madden's Post. It's located at 1119 West Waveland. For more information on the website, maddenspost.com. Again, that's maddenspost.com. So beyond being a baseball manager, a restaurateur, you're also doing Skypes with schools. Did you Skype with North River School today?
We did. It was outstanding. I think, what were they? They were a 13-year-old, 7th, 8th graders, I think, 6th, 7th, maybe, in that middle school kind of place. Outstanding. Great questions once again. I really like doing this. This is my second one. I have another one on Thursday. I mean, that was my second one this season. I'm trying to get this out there. I want to call it Outer Skype. And I want to get more people involved. I mean, players, coaches, managers, whatever, just like I did this morning. I took a half hour this morning, Skype the class. You infiltrate the class with the Cubs and your personal philosophies. You're trying to sell the game of baseball to youth. I really don't understand why we don't take advantage of technology more as MLB to do this kind of stuff. It's so simple. And just imagine if Anthony or KB or whomever, Stropey, did a class for a half hour in the morning, all these kids immediately become not only Cup fans, but they're Strope fans or whatever. If every team took this path, there could be such a tremendous impact made educationally among the kids in classrooms on a daily basis. There's 25-man roster, there's coaches, there's managers. You could plug one in a day all over the country. So I'm going to get this out there one way or another, but I'd like to call it out or Skype, and it was a great day for us.
Well, the cool thing about MLB is that they seem to be on the forefront of technology of the major sports. So I think that you probably are going to hit them with something that they're ready and able to do. I hope it works out.
Well, I've been after it for a couple of years now, and I've given written proposals. I've talked to people there, and I'm still. I just don't understand why it can't become more popular. Again, I'm not worried about the game being 3 minutes, 3 hours and 5 minutes, or 3:10. I'm worried about talking to kids. And if you get kids, and I even told them today, listen, it's not about you playing. And we're talking to the ladies too. And one of the questions was about girls in baseball. I said, hey, you don't have to make a penny out of this. It's not about making money. It's about the teamwork. It's about the self-discipline, the self-esteem derived. These are the things you're trying to get accomplished. And of course, with analytics, our game so morphs into the math class, and the math teacher was there today too. There's so much to be done if we could just interact in a way that gets more kids interested in homeroom. Can you imagine going to homeroom in the morning and setting your lineup? Be outstanding.
I think it would be great. It would be a lot of fun. This hour is being brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. Joe, this weekend there was a big celebration of moms, obviously with Mother's Day. I saw Wilson Contreras did a really cool thing on his Twitter feed. I'd love to know, and maybe it's in what we're seeing with you opening up the restaurant. What's something that you learned from Beanie that you love to share with other people?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, Beanie is the kind of mom, a woman that attracts others in the sense that you want to be in her company. She's entertaining. She's open. She's unplugged all the time. I think I get some of that from her. I think I get a lot of that from her. My mom started out, she got married when she was 20, grew up on the same block. She lived in the same block almost her entire life until she recently moved down with my sister in the Valley. So it's this this openness, this frankness, this method that she interacts with other people that draws people to her. And I got patience from my dad. I think I got this from my mom. Plus, she's a little feisty. You don't mess with Beanie. So all this stuff, just watching her growing up and how she attended to me and Carmine and my brother Mark, she's a very impressive woman.
Right now, your team, after starting 1-6, has gone 23-8 and now finds itself 24-14. When things are going well, what things do you like to share with the players?
Well, I like to stay out of their way. Primarily, I like to share less, if that makes any sense. What I'm doing right now, I just watch, I just monitor, I feel. I believe in feel. I know a lot of people don't understand that, but I just got to get a sense or feel of the day and just see how they're reacting, see if the energy is there, if the enthusiasm is there, how they're interacting with one another. I'm feeling all that stuff. It's out of the way, and then I could do my job. I mean, my job is entirely different, and I've been managing and I've been coaching, so I've actually had more time, like I said, to dissect video and look at other things that I pretty much stayed out of the way of in the past couple years. So if anything, I'm staying out of the way as much as I can. And while I'm doing that, I'm coaching more in a sense where I'm watching. And if I have something to tell you, well, I'm just not going to come up to you and attempt to influence you just because I want the player to say, well, geez, Joe said something to me. No. I stay out of the way until I feel it's absolutely necessary. So I want to be armed with information just in case it pops, and that's where I'm at right now.
Is it easier to teach in moments when things are going really well? Are players more receptive to it?
No. It's when things are going badly. When things are going well, guys normally need to be left alone. If you really want to elicit change with the player, and if he's And if things are going well, and he thinks he's going okay, it's not going to happen. You got failure is the right time to step in when things aren't going well. That might sound counterproductive. I mean, right now it's about encouragement and staying positive and, you know, that kind of stuff. But more recently, when things weren't going well for some of the guys, that's when they need you. They don't need you as much when things are going well. And so I really try to, again, keep my finger on the pulse and interject myself when I think it's necessary.
How satisfying is it for you to see KB find his game?
Beautiful thing, man. And I tell you, his confidence is soaring right now. You saw the plays at first base. Just threw him a first baseman's glove the other day. Hadn't even taken any ground balls, and he did a wonderful job. It's really interesting to watch. And I'll tell you, one of the funnest things on the field is when he's on first and the ball gets hit in the gap, watch him score. This fella really runs the bases. He cuts the corner so well. It's in his head because he's scoring for the team, but he's also scoring for the guy that hit the ball. He wants to give them that RBI. He does so many things well on the baseball field, and everybody's always worried about his hitting. I told him recently, I said, KB, just do something to help us win today because you can do it in so many other ways. I want him to focus on that and not just getting hits because he is a complete baseball player.
In his last couple of starts, John Lester, I've noticed in some innings where the defense wasn't great behind him, that he was able to pitch over that. What goes into a guy being able to pitch over defensive mistakes, especially Lester?
Isn't it obvious with him? He wants to pick the guy up. He really wants to pick the guy up. And the best way I could describe it, man, he slows things down even more. I'll watch him. He get behind the mound. He'll get the ball back. He does that little thing where he rubs it, and he walks back to the mound slowly with a head down. He rubs the ball, and he'll kind of kick that thing in the back to get the mud off his shoes, and he gets ready to go back on the mound. When he gets into that pace, I love it, because I know he's going to make a quality pitch. So he's there for his teammates all the time. I love the little banner he's got going on with Riz and some of the other guys regarding some of the defensive gaffes. Johnny's just taking his whole career to another level. He's in great shape physically and mentally, and he's one of the best teammates you'll ever have.
It's kind of amazing for a guy at this point with so many innings, so much postseason experience, and his age to be doing what he's doing. He's having his best year as we start out through the first, 48 innings or so that he's pitched. How is he doing it?
It's motivation and competition. And part of his mind, he has to realize that it's not going to go on forever, and he loves to compete. He is an absolute competitor, so he's that. And I think he's just really learned his craft so well. All the years that he's gotten to this point, he continues to learn. He continues to try to do better at what he's done in the past. So it's a competitive thing. It's a learned thing. And he really, I think he's having a blast right now, actually, too. There's, I guess you could, we all mature as we move it along, but I just think John has grown up so much over the last couple of years that you're seeing right now is a culmination of so many different moments he's been through, and now he's processing it as perfectly as you can.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. We talk with Joe every Tuesday at noon, so know that if you miss Joe this week, he'll be back next week, but we still got a little bit more time with Joe. So, What's been Tommy Hotovy's influence on Tyler Chatwood?
Well, I mean, Tommy's been a big supporter from the beginning of Tyler, even last year. He's always been there for him when things were rugged. Tommy, even though he was not the pitching coach, spends a lot of time with the pitchers through his analytical work. And just conversationally, Tommy is straightforward also. He is really sharp. He's not kind of sharp. He's really sharp. And he breaks things down well. So in the offseason, I know he was there lockstep with Tyler also, and they just figured out a couple things to try to simplify the delivery. And once they got on board with that, and then the ability to just point out really what works for him, this is what works for you, and again, cull things down. That's what he does, and he does it really well. He's a young man. I said it earlier this year, he's going to be one of the best pitching coaches in baseball in a very short period of time. He combines analytics. He combines the ability to teach physical mechanics. He combines the ability, great bedside manner, tremendous. And he's also a young man, but he's also going to call BS on some guys. He's not just going to stand up there and take it. He's got a good way about him, and it's going to keep getting better.
What's happening with Chatwood? Is it more mechanical with him that things have calmed down in his delivery?
Yeah, it starts there. It starts there, and then all of a sudden he's knowing where the ball is going, and then here comes the confidence. He might throw one out of kilter now and then, but he gets it back a lot more quickly now because he knows where to go to. He knows maybe what he had done wrong more readily, and I see it as getting better. It's going to continue to get better. By the end of the season, we're going to count on this guy for some huge outs. He's also very capable of starting it, too. That's not out of the context right now. It's possible. For right now, the opening's not there, so we got to keep him kind of stretched out in pitching because the stuff plays up so big in short spurts.
Yu Darvish had said that he feels like he needs to do more, that he needs to go six or seven innings when he goes out there. You said that you're trying to help him get into sixth gear. When I've been dying to ask you this all week. When you have a guy like Darvish who's got so many pitches in his arsenal, do you try to have him do less? Because I know that's your thing, that you say you want guys to do less. Do you try and pare down and say, you know what, maybe let's go with just the four-seamer today. Don't worry about the two-seamer. What's your approach with him?
You know, with him, you know, there's certain days the four-seamer is the better pitch. Certain days the two-seamer is the better pitch. The slider cutter, he's got a good curveball. You're right, he's got so much to draw from. I pretty much stayed out of this when it comes to that because I really wanted Tommy and to nail it down with Mike Borzello. And I have my opinions, and I throw them at Tommy. I don't want to confuse you by jumping in there with all this stuff going on. I like all of his stuff. I had a pitcher, Kelvin Escobar, a couple years ago with the Angels, and Esky was a five-pitch guy, and also Jeff Niemann with the Rays. I've never seen guys with that many above-average to good-quality pitches, Escobar and Niemann. And here we got Yu Darvish. So I know it can be done, and both those guys had great command. It's in there, man. It's in there. We just need this the epiphany moment where everything just locks in mentally, and then it's just going to take off. You just stay with it. Stay with it. As long as this man's healthy, we're staying with him because this stuff is that good.
How's Addison adjusting to being back?
Wonderfully. He's you know, he's picked. He's taken to his role. He stays ready during the game. He's always ready. If he's not starting, he walks around the dugout. He's getting ready. He realizes it might be a pinch hit. He knows it might be a double switch defense. He's been great. His work's been outstanding. We just need to get him back up to speed. You can see at the plate, he's still not there yet, but he looks wonderful on defense. So I give him a lot of credit. He still knows it's everything is a work in progress, and he's handling every situation that way. He's really maturing in the dugout and among the group. So I like a lot of what I'm seeing.
I haven't had a chance to really talk a lot about Wilson Contreras to you because we've talked about KB and Riz and everyone else. This guy's having a phenomenal season, and he rededicated himself in the offseason. From your perspective, why is he having such success?
Well, he also has simplified his hitting mechanics. That's the hitting side of things. It's much more – if you remember a couple years ago, he was like tearing it up and he got hurt towards the end of the season. He could have had 100 RBIs and almost 30 home runs. He was going that good. And then he got away from some stuff and now he's back into it. The spring training, he really rededicated to the batting style that he had incorporated. So that's A. B, this guy is so locked into his pitchers and his defense. I see him privy. I hear the conversations between him and Borzy in between innings. And, he's so into it. So wonderful student. He knows he's there as a catcher first. He knows he's there for his pitchers first. But yeah, quite frankly, when he's not hitting up to his capabilities, it does bother him. So the hitting's going on right now makes all this other stuff a bit easier. He's controlling his emotions better. He's getting back in the moment sooner. I really anticipate it'll continue.
All right. So Joe, I got some fun questions for you.
What do you got?
I was thinking about this over the weekend because it happened to me. When you're watching TV and a movie comes on that you've seen a bunch of times, what's the movie that you will watch till the end, even though you've seen it a million times?
There's probably, I would say, two I can think of quickly. And that would be The Godfather, number one. And Bull Durham, number two, because the Bull Durham is, you know, I could really relate to that story a lot. So I would say those two. If it's whatever reason, you could just, you know, you could just go and and pop it on your, iTunes, whatever, on TV, Apple TV, and play without commercials. But for whatever reason, you endure the commercials.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I believe the phenomenon is called being Shawshanked, because Shawshank Redemption is one of those movies that people usually go to. It is an unbelievable, especially you're so right about it. It can be on TV with commercials and you'll watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I surprised myself.
The other question, this was actually thrown by one of the beat guys. So ask Joe about this. Would you go donut or bagel?
I love bagels and cream cheese, but I'm a little bit lactose intolerant, and that bums me out. I love cinnamon raisin toasted bagel with globs of cream cheese on it. I absolutely love that. But then again, it's hard to beat a Krispy Kreme donut, too. So, God, that is an absolute toss-up.
Well, the other part of this question was, when you're trying to be good, when you're working out, you're feeling good, you're looking great, you got your dig me look going on.
Yep.
What's the food that will derail that for you if you walk past it or see it?
That's a heavy carb thing. I mean, probably one of my favorite things in the world is just like a big old lasagna, or just a heaping pile of penne pasta with something in it. I mean, I try to avoid, globs of that stuff as a kid growing up. That's all. And mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. That being Polish, my mom made that almost every night, mashed potatoes with corn. That was a staple for Beanie. My dad loved it too. So just walk away from that stuff if you can.
Well, it's hard to do that
sure. It's impossible, yes.
Joe, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Yet again, it's awesome. And Madden's Post, go check out Joe's place. 1119 West Waveland, maddenspost.com. If you want to get yourself some pierogies or some pizza, you can't stop. You're going to walk by and you're going to have it. Thanks, Joe.
Check out the second floor. The Flamingo Room is outstanding for private events, too. Check it out.
All right. I will do that. That is Joe Madden. See you next week, Joe.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
That's Joe Madden. Tony, what's a movie that you'll stop on no matter how many times you've seen it?
Oh, The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Okay.
Yes, every time.
With commercials, doesn't matter?
Yeah, with commercials, doesn't matter.
Campy?
Ocean's 11 is always on.
It is always on.
And I'll always stop for that. For Colleen, it's always Twister.
Really?
Yeah. I think those are the ones I think of offhand because they're on the most.
Okay.
I think the better question is, what movie you're not particularly proud of watching that you just, I think I'm just going to stay here.
The Postman. It is the worst movie ever, and I will watch it all the time because it's so bad. It is awful.
Sharknado for me. Yeah.
Which one?
The original.
The original.
The original Sharknado.
Yeah. If it's on, I'm like, I don't feel good watching this, but I can't turn the channel.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about The Postman. I know this is wrong. I'm still going to watch it, and it's awful.
Ooh, a texter brought up another one, and this is like tied for Dark Knight with me. My Cousin Vinny. Every single time, I will watch.
It really doesn't hold
Goodfellas.
Up.
Goodfellas. Goodfellas is the other one.
My Cousin Vinny doesn't hold up.
Are you serious?
It's not good.
You're crazy, man.
Tony, you don't know anything about life. How could you know if anything holds up?
My Cousin Vinny holds up. Are you kidding me?
Well, my Shawshank, someone got it on the text line. I will watch The Martian from wherever I catch it until the credits roll. I love that movie, and I will watch it whenever, wherever.
Goodfellas is my other one. I saw it on the text line, and I was like, I should have thought of that immediately.
Yes, Texter, The Postman with Kevin Costner. It's terrible, and I will watch it all the time. I don't know why. I just will.
I went through a few years ago, for whatever reason, For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner was on a lot. That's a really bad movie.
I actually like of all his baseball movies, I think that was the best. And what's his name as the manager?
Oh.
What's his name? Emil Skoda from Law & Order. He's actually like a Detroit Tigers fan. So him being the manager of the Tigers, pretty great. You know what I don't buy in that movie?
Everything else?
Pretty much everything else, including what's his name being the catcher.
Yes.
John C. Reilly being the catcher. I don't buy it. It's hard for me to buy it. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll reset the show. People already texted in their movies. We appreciate that. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You just heard Joe Madden right here on The Score.
Vin, it's time to make your opening statement. Come on, Vin.
Everything that guy just says, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think that My Cousin Vinny holds up. I am a big fan of Marissa Tomei, though. Back to her when she was on A Different World back in the day. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Dion Miller of ABC7 is going to join me in studio at 1. I'm looking forward to catching up with my friend Dion. She's great. She covers all the sports in Chicago. She does sideline stuff when Cubs games are on ABC7, so I can talk to her about a whole bunch of stuff. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals versus San Diego. Game 1 and 2 will be played this Friday and Saturday night at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at just $15. If you haven't been to a Wolves game, the atmosphere is really, really great. I went out with a bunch of listeners earlier this year. If you haven't gone, this is the time to go, okay? ChicagoWolves.com. Parking's free. You can check out the ticket information. Get yourself a good seat for $15 to see some championship hockey. A tweet, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes, was listening to the last segment and tweeted this to me. I've never heard of The Postman. On a related note, I can't think of one Kevin Costner movie I like. It's funny, because when we got into the Kevin Costner conversation, is he the best actor with the worst resume? Because there's a lot of movies on the Kevin Costner IMDb that you go, hard pass. But he's an award-winning actor, and he is considered one of the greatest actors of his generation. Even Man of Steel, I'm like, I'm good. Are you looking up the IMDb now, Tony? So we're going to give him Bodyguard, right? We're going to give him Bodyguard, very good. Are we giving him Field of Dreams? I don't know.
I don't know that people's main problem with the movie is him.
He's not the problem.
Right.
Other than in The Postman. He's one and Waterworld. I mean, think about some of the movies that Kevin has given us.
Man, these movies are awful.
I know. Like, I like 10 Cup, but it wasn't a great movie.
You know, at some point, though, it's not like he's forced to take these movies. At some point, your actor kind of IQ has to kick in. Like, no, this is
no. Or you can.
He takes everything.
Tony, that's what Samuel L. Jackson did, too. Sam was like, give me these checks. And apparently Kevin Costner is like that as well. But as far, he has an Academy Award, right? For Dances with Wolves? Another movie that doesn't hold up. But for that level of actor to give us that many terrible movies, is he unmatched in that regard? Is there anyone else whose resume comes close to that many bad movies and that well-regarded of an actor?
I don't think so. I mean, this is like...
Run the list for me, Campy. Run the list. What you got?
Does Will Smith count? I mean, he's made a lot of terrible
movies. He's getting close. Will's getting real close.
And in a lot of them, he really doesn't have anybody to blame for him but himself.
But himself.
The only one allowed to act.
Some people like Bright, though. I haven't watched it, but some people really liked it. And I feel like the Aladdin thing's going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
You should be worried, and he should too. Will's doing better things on Instagram than he's doing in the movie theater.
Right, and I mean, it's impossible to live up to what Robin Williams did with that character. It truly is impossible because of the live action versus the cartoon, and for that, you couldn't have cast anybody better than Robin Williams.
Agreed. Is there anyone else on this list? That is a decorated. It has to be a decorated. Like, I would say they have to be Academy Award nominated at least. That has that string of ugh.
Where are you on Nick Cage?
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's good. But here's the thing. We all know that he's crazy pants.
Yeah.
And he's good at being crazy pants. But was very good in Into the Spider-Verse. I'm sure people are like, wait, Nick Cage was in that? Yes, he was. He was Spider-Man Noir. I don't know if there's anyone that's on his list. But I'm going to give Nick Cage the pass because he might be crazy.
I heard a great question of, and I don't remember why it came up. Would you rather, what's the one Tom Hanks role you would rather see Nick Cage play, or the one Nick Cage role you'd rather see Tom Hanks play?
Ooh, okay. Okay. I like this game. I like where your head's at on this one, Campy. I'll take Nick Cage as Woody in Toy Story.
Okay.
And I'll take, I'll take Tom Hanks in Face Off. Face Off. Yes, we get it. It's in the title. We're very aware.
Another bad movie that I'll always get stuck on is Gone in 60 Seconds.
That's bad. Is Angelina Jolie in that one?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a great role for Tom Hanks sitting in the car with Angelina Jolie trying to get over the shifter while there's the people doing what they're doing in their place.
She might be on the list too. Angelina Jolie might be on that list with Kevin Costner and Will Smith. She's a good choice. Like, if that's a sleeper pick, because some of those movies were trash.
If you had to pick a movie that you think she was great in.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
That was a long time ago.
Was it Gia? Was that the name of the movie? Like her first like big star turn? She was really great in that.
Michael Reinsdorf doesn't think that movie was that long ago.
Man, if you would have nailed that one, it would have been so perfect.
I know.
If you would have nailed it.
Very on brand for me.
Travolta on the list. Did he get an Academy Award for Saturday Night Fever? Was he nominated? Because I don't know if, was he nominated for Pulp Fiction? Did he get an Academy? Like, because I think you got to be at least at the nomination part.
He's got a Golden Globe. He's got multiple.
But no Academy Award or no Academy Award nomination.
He was nominated for Best Actor in Pulp Fiction and for Saturday Night Fever.
All right. Put him on the list. Ben Affleck. It's a good choice. We're gonna put a composite together of this. Someone said Denzel. No, sir.
Hey, sir.
No.
Hey, or ma'am.
We will not have this Denzel slander on the show today.
Not in here.
Not up in here.
Not in this house.
Never in this house will you be slandering Denzel Washington. Denzel F. Washington. Mind you.
You can leave, sir, or ma'am.
Yeah. We say good day, sir, to you. Good day, sir. Some White Sox stuff. I was at White Sox yesterday. I want to share what I learned. We'll do that next here on The Score. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Dion Miller from ABC7 is going to be here in studio with me. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. This segment is being brought to you by Townstone Financial. It's a Townstone Financial mortgage update. Want to purchase a new home and close quickly? Townstone.com has the home loan for you. Guaranteed great rates and low costs with the fastest mortgage technology on the planet. Townstone.com, where boom, you are approved, means something. I was out at White Sox. I left here yesterday and went over to the ballpark. Usually what happens is when a team has been on the road, when they come back home, that's an opportunity, at least has been with the White Sox, where you talk with the general manager. Cubs do this too. Like if they've been gone for a little while, Theo or Jed will come out and kind of do like what's going on management-wise. So we had the chance to talk with Rick Hahn yesterday, and a lot of the news about what's going on with the White Sox is bad. I wanted to share that with you, what Rick had to say about some of the injury issues that are going on, and then talk a little bit about my experience in the clubhouse yesterday. Here's Rick with some of the bad news and one good piece of news.
Eloy is heading out to Charlotte. We'll begin a rehabilitation assignment with them tomorrow. He is progressing nicely, as we've talked about before, and should, knock on wood, everything goes smoothly. Hopefully be able to activate him by the start of the next road trip against Houston, if not potentially sooner. We'll see how the next week goes. At the other end of the spectrum, Nate Jones underwent surgery this afternoon, performed by Dr. Andrews in Florida to repair a tear in his flexor mass in his right forearm. As a result, Nate will be out for the remainder of the season. Similarly, on Wednesday of this week, Carlos Rodon will visit with Dr. Eletrage in Los Angeles, and he is scheduled for ulnar collateral ligament repair, or Tommy John surgery, which will also knock Carlos out for the remainder of this season. Given that he has yet to undergo the surgery, it's still too early to give you a precise timeline in terms of his potential return. However, in general, given the timing of this surgery, it is reasonable to expect Carlos to be able to rejoin us during the second half of the 2020 season. But obviously in the coming months, we'll hopefully be able to give you a little more precise update on or projection on his return to action.
How tough is it for guys like Jones and Rodon who have seemed like they've spent, you know, a couple years working their way back and now the process kind of begins again?
You know, it's obviously a shame. I mean, starting with Nate, who now I believe this is his third, if not possibly his fourth procedure in the last 4 or 5 years. Obviously a great competitor and someone who's worked very hard to get back each time to now undergo another setback, I'm sure is extremely discouraging. Nate and I talked about, you know, a few weeks ago when it looked like it was heading down this path, you know, there's been a decent number of very fine relievers in the last several years who have had issues like this and been able to come back and be productive well into their mid and late 30s. And certainly there's no reason to think that Nate can't be one as well. So get this behind him, get him healthy, and we'll see where it goes. As for Carlos, you had him out here, and he spoke about the possibility of Tommy John surgery. I think he is at peace with it in terms of the road ahead of him. He knows it's not going to necessarily be an easy rehab, but at the same time, it's one that has a very, very high likelihood of success and one that should put him in a position to continue on and have a very promising career once he returns.
You addressed this a bit when you first announced that Carlos had the injury a few weeks back, but how does his upcoming layoff kind of affect the way you look at your starting pitching staff in the short and long term?
Well, certainly in the short term, we're going to give the opportunity to some younger guys to show what they can do and how they fit. Come this offseason, we obviously aren't going to project to have him as part of our opening day five or part of our five-man rotation for the first part of the season at least. So that could well affect our plans then, depending on how some of these young guys come along. Look, ideally, you have all the answers internally. At the same time, we know that's not extremely likely, and that from the start of this, we've made it clear that eventually we are going to have to go outside the organization, either via trade or free agency, to plug some of these holes wherever they arise. It certainly is conceivable one of those spots is going to be in our starting rotation now, given the injuries, but we'll wait to see how the next few months unfold before officially deciding that. Merck?
Sorry. You good?
Go ahead.
This might be unfair to ask because he hasn't even had the surgery yet, but is he still a starter in your mind? I mean, could he come back as a closer of some sort, you know?
I think long-term he's still a starter. I think he's very much still a starter long-term. How he gets reintegrated into the big league level during the 2020 season, that's too early to say.
Since Carlos went down, Giolito's delivered a couple really nice outings. What are you seeing different from him that makes you think he can sustain this?
Well, I think we saw it when he first showed up in spring training. Obviously, the adjustments that he made in his delivery with his arm arc has had a significant impact on his ability to command both the fastball as well as improvement in his changeup. We're all 30 teams, we're all guilty come spring training when a guy comes back and he looks good in spring or he looks good even in the first few sidelines of getting sort of artificially excited about, oh, this could be the year they take a step forward. It always makes you feel a little bit better when there's an objective reason for why there's a reason to believe he could take that step forward. And for Lucas, it's not just the maturity and the experience that he gained over the last season and plus being in the big leagues. It is those mechanical adjustments. There's something you can tangibly point to that is having an effect on how the ball is coming out of his hand, both from a command standpoint and from a pitch quality standpoint. So he's obviously done a very good job. You know, the hamstring injury was an unfortunate setback, but he really sort of picked up where he left off in that outing with his last few since he's been back. So remain very, very optimistic about the direction he's heading.
That was Rick Hahn yesterday talking about Rodon and the hope being that Rodon makes his way back to the major league club in the second half of next season. A text was, you know, sent in while it was going on. At what point does Nate Jones just quit? I mean, I've been wondering the same thing. Like, this is – they've – he's done so much rehabilitation over the last few years and it just hasn't worked out. And, yeah, later in your career, you can find a spot on a team. But if it's not – if you're not able to physically answer the bell, then the chances of someone taking a risk on you are very low. The good news is Aloy is going down to Charlotte, and he's going to be in the lineup tonight. And what Rick said is that they want to – they're going to have him DH a little bit and play the outfield, and that he missed so much time that they don't want to just put him back out on the major league roster right away. My guess would be he's in Charlotte for a week, that he gets a week's worth of at-bats, and then he's good to go. I went inside the clubhouse to just add a little more to the conversation on Giolito. I was talking with James McCann about calling games with him, and McCann said that I asked him about fastball changeup and how it looks like Giolito's got good command of his changeup. And McCann said that he had gone back and looked at some video when he was getting used to the staff and said that Giolito is really good at having his change be deceptive, and that when he's going right, his fast and his change look the same. When he gets out of pocket is when he loses fastball command, and then everything just kind of falls apart. But over the last few starts, Giolito's been good. Lopez and Giolito have been really good over the last few starts. Manny Banuelos is going to start today for the White Sox. The White Sox, who in their last 29 games have gone 16-13. This division, man, and I don't buy the Twins, even though everyone else does. I don't buy it, but who's going to stand in their way? The White Sox? We'll see. Dion Miller of ABC 7 joins me in studio next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.